Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's Commander's Task Force holiday show, we'll meet with our veteran service organizations to see what they're doing this holiday season, and we'll learn about their plans for 2014. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
I want to extend my warmest greetings and best wishes to the men and women of the United States Armed Services, their families, and the citizens of Minnesota. There have been many times in history when Americans in uniform spent the holiday season on battlefields or stationed at posts far from home. I know the holidays are especially difficult for those service members who are unable to spend it with their loved ones. These troops sacrifice their holidays so that fellow Americans can safely enjoy theirs. In doing so, they are part of a tradition that dates back to our nation's founding. I hope that all of you who are putting your lives at risk every day for our country feel the pride, the affection, and admiration of your fellow citizens. It is your courage that preserves the freedom we inherited from our forefathers. It is your sacrifice and that of your predecessors in uniform that enable Americans to enjoy a safe and peaceful holiday. To the service members of Minnesota who watch over our nation, I thank you for your service, and I pray for your safe return home. To the families who share their loved ones to defend our great nation, I thank you for your sacrifices and support. Have a safe and happy holiday. God bless you.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, this is our annual Commander's Task Force holiday show. And our first guest today is from Minnesota's Military Order of the Purple Heart, the Adjutant Richard Jenkins. Richard, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much.
Can you share with our listeners quickly, we learned last week that you're a Vietnam veteran.
Yes, I am.
United States Army.
That's correct.
And you served over there what years?
65-66. Served with the Big Red One, 1st Army Division that was made very popular in World War II.
Everybody's heard of the Big Red One.
That's correct.
And now we've got our own man in the studio. Richard, can you tell us a little bit, the Military Order of the Purple Heart in Minnesota, what's your mission and how many members do you have?
We have well over 1,400 members of the Military Order of the Purple Heart from all wars. And as the adjutant, I'm responsible to make sure that we make contact, help them to file for disability claims. The Purple Heart is a catalyst that allows them to take in consideration of trauma, things that have experienced in combat that others may not have been exposed to. And at the same time, I am aware of the two national service officers out there at the Whipple Building who are national service officer for the Military of the Purple Heart. And this is special.
And as a Vietnam veteran, you were wounded in combat, so you're a member of the Military Order of the Purple Heart.
Yes, I am, very much.
Richard, what's the Minnesota Military Order of the Purple Heart doing this holiday season to help our veterans?
At the current time, we just receive, stockings gifts inside from the National Military Order Purple Heart site, and we have awarded those veterans who were wounded in action in Afghanistan and the East, the war that has taken place now. Within our department newsletter, in which I am the editor, we have pictures of those soldiers receiving these gifts and inspiring them to be happy and to let them know that we appreciate their sacrifice and duty. There are many sacrifices that veterans go through, and many of them are still suffering from traumatic events that took place in their lives.
We're speaking with Richard Jenkins, the adjutant of the Minnesota Military Order of the Purple Heart on Minnesota Military Radio. Richard, do you have any special plans, anything special in the Military Order of the Purple Heart coming up for next year?
Well, we do. One of the things that as a department adjutant and the of the Military Order of the Purple Heart, I have a special website. It's called theramaword.net. I am an ordained minister, served as a national chaplain to the Military of the Purple Heart in 2010. And a copy of the newsletter in which we send out every 2 months is on there. If they have any veterans, be they male and or female, who will want to find further instructions or help with the Military of the Purple Heart, they're able to go to that website, and at the same time, they're able to respond to situations or problems that they are encountering. We, as the members of the Military of the Purple Heart, take a special insight to make sure that our veterans are taken care of and that they are not left aloof. I work with organizations like the Disabled American Veterans, and I want to be we try to work together collectively because both of our organization are service-connected disabilities.
Richard, can you give us an example of a Minnesota veteran that you've helped with your Military Order of the Purple Heart?
There's a veteran who is approximately 75 years old. He's a combat veteran of Vietnam. He was not wounded, but over a period of time, many of the veterans coming back, they're suffering from situations that has caused their limbs to grow loose. They're not able to have the agility as other veterans. And this is a veteran that I had married him and his wife over 25 years ago. The veteran was not able to move, not have any mobility in his legs. And so he asked, his wife asked me, would I be willing to see if we could get a wheelchair, not a wheelchair, but a chair that is electrical, that allows him to move from place to place. It allows him to have more ability to move to and fro from place to place. And right now, his wife has a scooter that has allowed him to have more mobility in the hospital, as well as other areas that he would like to visit. And so this is something that I played a big role by contacting Jerry of the Disabled American Veterans. And so with this, his ability to receive this motor wheelchair, he was able to take advantage of that. So this is one of the things that I look forward to.
The Minnesota Disabled American Veterans weren't able to join us today, but they do a great job over there with transporting people and providing gear and wheelchairs and whatever's needed.
Right, and the Disabled American Veterans is one of the largest organizations here. And so we work hand in hand. We're not jealous. We're not envious of one another. The bottom line is that we help our veterans and let them know that we respect them with great honor.
Richard, we just got about a minute left, but the Military Order of the Purple Heart is one of the members of the Commander's Task Force.
That's correct.
And so you guys get together, the commanders of all 9 federally chartered veteran service organizations, and you work together on things like veterans that need something and on legislation. It's a good group, isn't it?
Right, it is. And at the same time, we are glad that we're able to do these things for the veterans. This is the bottom line.
So the Commander's Task Force really gives you the opportunity to meet all of the American Legion, the VFW, the DAV, all those others, and work together to help our veterans.
Right. And at the same time, when all the veterans associations come together, if there is one dissenting vote concerning a matter, we will table that. We have to have a united approval of anything that comes before it. Otherwise, it's not going to take. So this is one of the things that I'm excited about what we do.
Richard, any final thoughts for our listeners today?
No. One of the things that I would just like to recipients of veterans, one of the things that we do not take in consideration is our wives, our children, because many times when we first came back, we had traumatic events, and it was difficult for us to process those things. But our families have supported us. Our children have supported us. And this makes life much more enriching when you have people to support you in the background, because coming back from Vietnam 47 years ago, it was not that way.
Richard, thanks for joining us again today on this holiday special.
Thank you.
It was Richard Jenkins, the adjutant of the Minnesota Military Order of the Purple Heart. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll meet the department commander of the American Legion.
Yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. This is our annual Commander's Task Force holiday show. In the first segment, we talked to the Military Order of the Purple Heart, and joining us now is the Department Commander of the American Legion, Mike Ash. Mike, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it very much.
Mike, glad to have, once again, a fellow Air Force veteran in the studio.
Absolutely.
Always surrounded by these soldiers, you know. Can you tell us a little bit about your military career?
Spent 20 years in the Air Force, started 1972, traveled around the globe, hit Korea, Alaska, Texas, the National Security Agency, and I don't know anybody's phone number, and I followed that up.
But they know yours.
That's right, they do. and I finished it up in Saudi Arabia during Desert Storm.
And how did you get to be the American Legion Department Commander, Mike?
Just pure luck, I think. They didn't run out of people. After running for a year, I went up and was elected, hands down. After 42 years in the organization, they thought I was probably ready.
You and your wife were volunteering too much, so they said, it's your job.
That's right.
All right. Can you tell us, what's the American Legion doing this time of year to help our veterans?
Well, Tom, the American Legion, our Christmas activities are mainly post and local level. Across the state, Legionnaires visit nursing homes, hospitals, other places, and bring Christmas joy to those vets that can't get around. Many posts have Christmas parties for their communities, and they have parties including Santa just for the kids. One of the things we just finished up in November was a shop, ship, and share. And what we did there was we got together with the United States Post Office. We had the postmaster for St. Paul and Minneapolis over to Rosedale Center. And for a weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we collected money. We packed packages for our troops overseas and mailed them out. And so far, we've got about 900 packages packed up and mailed out.
Great work, Mike. People just don't hear about that, do they?
No, they don't.
But they're well appreciated, every package.
Oh, absolutely. We get plenty of feedback from our troops whether they come back. Last year, we actually had one of the troops that received some of the packages. He came down to help us pack for his troops over there.
Came home, turned around, went and helped you, and sent packages back to the rest of the guys.
Absolutely.
There's a good veteran for you.
You bet.
Mike, you got any special events coming up next year, 2014?
We do. We just had a revitalization of one of our posts in North St. Paul, and that went off wonderfully. We talked to some of the districts throughout the state, and they all agree that it's a great idea. So what they're doing is they're going to get with the national organization. They're going to get some letters mailed out to some folks that used to be members and aren't anymore, and some local veterans, and they're going to get together and make phone calls and hopefully get some more members signed up. We've got the Winter Carnival coming up in January. We march in that every year. That'll be on the 25th of January this year, or in 2014. And we're looking forward to that. Along with that, we've got the National Commander of the American Legion, Dan Dellinger, coming in. And we'll be picking him up in Pipestone, or actually pick him up in Sioux Falls. He'll be coming into Sioux Falls. and we'll bring them on a week-long tour from Pipestone and ending up in Rosetown, American Legion in St. Paul.
Mike, you'll have to see if we can bring him into the radio show.
That would be great.
We're speaking with Minnesota's Department Commander for the American Legion, Mike Ash, on Minnesota Military Radio. Mike, I noticed that we saw you in the newspaper a week or two ago about post homes, VFW and American Legion. Both, some of them are struggling, some are not. What's the difference between the ones that are really doing well and the ones that are struggling?
Well, you know, it's that's a good question. And a lot of them, it has to do with the folks they have in charge, the way they run the place. Some of them are just falling on hard financial times. They're doing everything they can to keep it going. And in almost all of our posts that I've run into so far, the community is behind them 100%, and that's what they need. When the community and the American Legion work together, or any veterans organization, because in so many of these small towns, the veterans organization is the center point for the small town. And that's why when I was post commander at a large post in St. Paul, and I actually was a commander down in San Antonio as well, I said I would much rather be in a small town because that's where all the action is, and you can really get the community behind you, because they know the American Legion is a place that they're going to have weddings and dances, and they know that when they need a fundraiser and when the veterans in the community need some help, they know that's where they need to go to get the help.
Mike, is membership a factor? The World War II and Korean guys were losing them every day, and the Vietnam guys didn't sign up in the numbers that the World War II guys did. But is membership a factor with some of these posts having trouble?
In some cases, it is, absolutely. We even though we're losing our World War II vets and our Korean War vets at a stronger pace, right now we've centered a lot of our efforts in membership towards the Vietnam veteran. And also looking at the younger veterans as they come home. That's a real balancing act, trying to get the younger members to join, to make sure that after they do join, that we follow up with them to make sure that they know they're getting some bang for their buck, and that they stay and they can see all the different programs that we do to help the veterans. And we do that mainly by just helping those veterans that are coming home now, anything they need, from maybe temporary financial assistance into getting signed up at the VA, because so many of them come home and they go, I'm fine, I'm not sick, I don't need to sign up to VA. But that's absolutely the wrong answer. You've got to get on the rolls down there in the VA, because sooner or later everybody's gonna need them.
Mike, you're a member of the American Legion, is a member of the Commander's Task Force here in Minnesota, where all the veteran service organizations get together and you coordinate activities and talk about fundraisers and people that you're helping, but you also do work with the legislation to help veterans. How important is it for you to have a good, strong membership so that when you're up at the Capitol, they know how many people you're representing?
Oh, it's absolutely essential. With the veterans organizations all together like that, with the 9 organizations pooling their resources, when we go up and we talk to our legislators and tell them that we want specific bills, specific things to be pushed through, when they see that they've got all the veterans in Minnesota behind that bill, it really pulls a lot of weight.
So for those veterans that might not have joined a veteran service organization yet, it's not a question of going down to the post home and having dinner and a drink. It's more, you know, what can I do to help the community? And I'm lending my voice.
Absolutely.
To your voice when you go talk to the legislature about veterans benefits and keeping the promise to fellow veterans.
That's one of the big things we push during membership. It's not that we're going to make you come out there and help fix breakfast or join in a fundraiser, but just you carrying that card gives us one more number that when we go to our representatives and we tell them that certain bills that affect veterans need to be looked at carefully and can't just be run by a bunch of non-veterans that think they know what's best for us, but sometimes do not. It's absolutely essential that we have the numbers to back our requests.
Mike, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
No, I just wanted to mention my commander's project. Legionville.
Finish that job up there.
Absolutely. We're working on it. We're going to have about 1,000 kids come converging on Legionville here in the summer to learn about safety patrol and first aid and canoeing and camping. And we want to make sure that it's ready for them. And it looks like we're moving right ahead there.
Mike, we'll have you back on, I think, in a couple of months, and we'll talk a lot more about Legionville and your continuation of the Commander's Project second year in a row.
Right.
Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Tom.
That was Mike Ash, the Department Commander for the American Legion on Minnesota Military Radio. And as we leave you this segment, we'll leave you with a message from the Minnesota National Guard Chaplain Major Buddy Wynn.
I'm Chaplain Buddy Wynn, full-time support chaplain for the Minnesota National Guard. George Washington once said, "We ought not look back unless it is to derive useful lessons from past errors and for the purpose of profiting by dearly bought experience." General Washington was right. Looking back is usually a dangerous and unprofitable exercise, but the end of the year is not a bad time to see if any important lessons have been learned, particularly where leadership is concerned. According to the book of Proverbs, a prudent person is one who learns from past errors. And as you look back on 2013, I challenge you to reflect on the lessons you've learned in the last 12 months that can make you a better and more resilient leader in the coming year.
Silver bells, silver bells, silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Boom, 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 boom.
Santa baby, just slip a sable.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and if you haven't figured it out yet, this is our annual Commander's Task Force holiday show with all that great music from Adam Tilsner, our producer. And we've been talking to the Military Order of the Purple Heart and the American Legion, and joining us now is the Junior Vice Commander from the Minnesota's VFW, Dwayne Hermanson. Dwayne, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me here today.
Dwayne, can you tell us a little bit about your military career? I understand you deployed at a young age.
That's correct. I joined the Army Reserve in 1974. After serving 30 years with the Army Reserve, I got deployed in support of Iraqi freedom in 2004 and 2005.
As a young fellow?
As a young fellow, 58 years old.
How hard was the deployment on you?
Well, it was hard to start with. You know, being away from your family, even at that age, first deployment ever, missing Vietnam. But, you know, it was an adjustment over there in the desert.
And you lived through it.
Lived through it. Came home.
And your commander is not available today, so they recruited the junior vice commander to come over and talk to us.
That's correct.
Well, welcome to the show. We're glad to have you. Dwayne, can you tell me what is the VFW doing around the holidays to help our veterans?
Well, the Department of Minnesota is not a lot of programs going on with the department. However, our Pulse, our auxiliary units out here locally, they have a lot of Christmas parties that they bring their young children in. So locally, they do Christmas parties. The Pulse and the auxiliaries, they visit nursing homes where veterans are at, provide them with some caroling, and, of course, our Hastings, or our veterans' homes out here in Minnesota. I know that we provide gifts to the veterans that are in the veterans' homes to make them a happy Christmas. I mean, without the gifts from the Pulse out here, their Christmas would be pretty bland in them veterans' homes.
So your veterans and auxiliary at the post are still making visits to the homes and going out and trying to make sure that the residents are in good shape.
Yes, they are.
We were talking to Mike Ash about an article that was in the paper a couple of weeks ago about posts and VFW and American Legion. Some are doing well, some aren't. And it seems like that article focused on a couple that weren't doing too well. But how's your membership? Is it strong? What's the difference between a good post and a bad post?
Well, our membership right now is about 47,000, and it's very low. And that has a detriment on our posts out here. And I feel that a lot of the smaller posts that are in the smaller communities are really struggling. As you know, we have to be a veteran of a combat war. And a lot of these young troops coming home don't go back to small towns. And so they're not joining the VFW. And then that gives them, I lost train of thought here.
So you're telling us that Commander Ash over at the American Legion has it easier than you do because all he needs is veteran. You need a combat veteran.
That's correct. But I know that both organizations are struggling with membership on the new current conflict, and we have to remedy that somehow. I'm hoping to set a program next year when I become senior vice commander, being a membership chairman, to put a plan together to try and reach out to get these young Iraqi and Afghanistan veterans.
So you've got a secret weapon and a plan. I can see it in your eyes.
I'm working on it.
All right. Well, we hope you have a great year with that next year when you move up through the chairs. What's planned for the VFW for next year?
Well, the first plan, we have midwinter conference coming up here in January, and that's kind of a highlight for the Veterans of Foreign Wars here in Minnesota. That's where we recognize our Voice of Democracy winners from all 9 districts and our one Patriot's Pen winner at the department level, and it is a highlight at our midwinter conference. We also recognize our Teacher of the Years from both middle school, high school, and elementary. And so that'll be coming up here in January down at in Minneapolis.
We're speaking with the Department Junior Vice Commander from the Veterans of Foreign Wars, Dwayne Hermanson, on Minnesota Military Radio. Dwayne, can you tell me, you're a member, the VFW is a member of the Commander's Task Force. We've been talking about that all show. And you or the commander go attend those meetings. How important is that, and how important is your membership to your participation on the Commander's Task Force?
Well, the Commander's Task Force is very, very important. I think it was just last Friday we were up at the legislative committee meeting to talk about a veterans issue. And without the membership numbers, because we go up there representing the entire Veterans of Foreign Wars membership, along with the American Legion commander, he represents the entire American Legion membership and so on, along with all the other veteran organizations. And without the numbers, because we go up there with 47,000 members, and if we were at 60,000 members, our word gets bigger because we're the ones that are here to put the personnel in them positions up there at legislative.
So, Dwayne, what would you say to the veterans that are out there listening today that might not belong to a veteran service organization?
Join, if eligible, a veterans organization that you can, rather be American Legion, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, DAV, Order of the Purple Heart.
And it's not
AM
just
vets.
Yeah, you know, you're getting the Marine Corps League. Get them on.
Marine Corps League.
Don't forget the Marines.
That's true.
We'll be in trouble. They'll come
past
after
commander
us.
Commander would have a.
And by joining, it's not just about dinner and adult beverage.
It's
about helping your community and helping other vets.
That's correct. Yes, we do a lot for our communities. We really do.
Dwayne, can you tell me about Frank, your commander's project for this year?
Commander Frank's project this year is the Bent Star, which goes out to the Pacific, from the Pacific War, to recover MIAs. This is primary dear to his heart. His uncle went down, he was in the Air Force, and I think there was a crew of 11, and Bent Star mission is going out to find the MIAs in the Pacific Ocean, in the waters. And he did recover, I believe it was 8 or 9 of the flight crew. And one of the members of the flight crew was his uncle. So his funds that he's raising for this year and come next year is going to go towards the Bent Star MIA project.
Sounds like a big project. There's a lot of water out there in the Pacific.
Yes, there is.
And he's pretty adamant about it. He told us about that when he was in last time.
Yes.
Dwayne, what else is coming up for next year for the VFW? Anything special?
Well, not locally here for Minnesota. I know there's a lot of things going out here nationally, and I know that the national commander and the adjutant general is working diligently on trying to strive to come up with a new plan to entice membership in the organization.
Yeah, of course, your members are all combat veterans, and next year is the 70th anniversary of the invasion of Normandy. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things to talk about for those World War II veterans that are still here and participating in the honor flights.
Yes, there is.
Do you guys get behind the honor flights and try to help those as well?
Oh, yes. We've sent, I know we have sent, I believe, every World War II veteran that was able to go to Washington, D.C. Was supported by the Veterans of Foreign Wars and their local posts.
Have you been out to see any of those memorials?
Yes, I have.
They're pretty amazing.
They are amazing.
Especially the Vietnam Memorial for those of us here that today they're Vietnam vets.
Yep.
That's a hard one to go see.
Yes, it is.
Remember some of your buddies out there.
Yep.
But it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, they all are.
Dwayne, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts that you might have for our listeners today about the VFW in Minnesota?
Well, the VFW would like to wish all our members and their families have a wonderful Christmas and a new year.
Dwayne, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Dwayne Hermanson, the junior vice commander from Minnesota's Department of Veterans of Foreign Wars on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. This has been our Commander's Task Force Holiday Show. And joining me for the fourth segment now is Beth Koshin from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Sergeant First Class Ben Houtcooper, who is our broadcast NCO for the show. You're usually not on the air, but welcome to the show today.
Thank you, Tom. It's good to be back.
Thank you, Tom.
Before we get started, we have one more piece of business to take care of, and that is to hear our weekly message from the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelledo.
Thank you to the Veterans Service Organizations who are with us today for the Commander's Task Force Holiday Show. Thank you on behalf of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and the Veterans of Minnesota for your continued support. They are the voices of 380,000 veterans in this great state, and without their support, we would not be the great force we are today. As 2013 comes to a close, I would like to thank our listeners who have tuned into Minnesota Military Radio. What a great year it's been. I look forward to 2014, and I hope you will continue to join us on News Talk AM 1130 or on one of our networks throughout the state. Best wishes for a wonderful holiday season and a new year of health and happiness. The best part of the season is remembering those who make holidays meaningful. Join me as I take a moment to remember the families who are missing a veteran this holiday season.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelledo. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Beth, that's the commissioner. That's your boss over at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And you help us get that message from him every week. How hard is that?
You know, it's pretty easy to put together, and he likes to talk about lots of different things and, you know, different groups and organizations that are helping our veterans here in Minnesota and some of our programs, so.
He's been a big supporter, hasn't he?
He has.
Beth, can you just tell our listeners, give them a little overview, what is the Commander's Task Force? We've talked about it all day, but we really didn't talk about why it's there and what it is.
Sure. The Commander's Task Force is made up of 9 congressionally chartered veteran service organizations here in Minnesota, and they get together every monthly. Their commanders get together, and they meet and talk about different, you know, things that are going on. Basically, they, as the commissioner said, he said it really well. They're the voice of the 370,000 veterans we have here in Minnesota, and they go up to legislative sessions and up to the Hill and fight for what's right for our veterans and kind of have veterans back, basically, in Minnesota. So,
There's some great people that are commanders of those organizations. And, of course, we had the Military Order of the Purple Heart, the American Legion, the VFW on today. And we've had the DAV on in the past. And I know that DAV has been pretty busy lately, hasn't it? The Minnesota Disabled American Veterans.
They have. We recently found out just this week, actually, that they are donating 2 wheelchairs to each of our 5 state veterans' homes. And along with the DAV, we also... Throughout the year, all of our veteran service organizations here in Minnesota donate to our homes, and it's we're so thankful for it, and it makes the quality of life better. You know, residents are able to go on, whether it's a fishing trip or maybe an outing to a baseball game, little things like that that maybe they wouldn't have been able to do if it wasn't for the generosity of our veteran service organizations.
And we've had Stephen Whitehead, the adjutant, over there on the show several times, and they provide transportation for our veterans to get to and from the hospitals, and they just do all kinds of great work, don't they?
They do, and they actually, this week as well, donated a van to our Minneapolis veterans home that the Adult Day Center is going to be using, so we're also very thankful for that.
Beth, I think you had another program at the VA homes you wanted to tell us about?
Yep, it started in 2003, and it's called Adopt a Veteran Program, and it's at our Minneapolis Veterans Home. And basically, an organization comes forward and buys a gift for a resident, and our recreation therapist there at our home kind of makes sure that each veteran gets a gift. And at the annual holiday party that happens on Christmas Eve at the home, each veteran gets a gift, and it's just a really great program, and really makes it feel like home, and celebrating holidays and everything. So.
Beth, we're a little bit behind the scenes on this segment of the show, but over at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, you're our producer from there, and you're chasing down interviews for us. And how hard is it to work on the show? You've been working on it for a few years now, and we've been able to tell a lot of good stories, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, looking back, it's crazy, but I've gotten the hang of it, and it's kind of finding those people and talking and connections, and it's all about networking and networking with veterans, too, and that's why our veteran service organizations are just... You know, they're invaluable to us.
Yeah, and I know you put a lot of work in trying to get the connections with all those commanders, kind of like chasing cats sometimes. But
yep, I sometimes feel like I'm herding cats, but they're great to work with.
But they had a pretty good time today, and they do a lot of good work.
Absolutely.
Sergeant Ben?
Sir.
We've got you behind the microphone.
It's amazing. I'm usually on the other side of the soundproof glass.
Merry Christmas.
Where I like it. Merry Christmas to you as well.
While we're talking about Christmas, most people, thank God, in the United States go about their business and they do their thing and they don't worry about things. And part of that's because 1% of us serve today in the armed forces of the United States, and they're all over the world protecting our country and our way of life. And at times like Thanksgiving and Christmas, we like to remember them, don't we?
Absolutely. It's important to remember that, you know, that small contingent of Americans are out there right now. You know, Iraq has kind of wound down. Afghanistan, it sounds like it's getting smaller and smaller, but still, even this holiday season, we have soldiers, airmen, Marines, sailors overseas right now serving for us.
So what kind of numbers do we have, guardsmen and women and reservists out deployed today from Minnesota?
Well, the numbers are considerably down, and I think our families thank us for that. But right now, you know, Minnesota is probably going to be sitting at about 500 of our fellow Minnesotans are going to be overseas in Afghanistan and other places. You know, looking at the Minnesota National Guard, you know, we are kind of the largest military group here in Minnesota. We're going to have about 10 people from an aviation unit in St. Paul, the OSA, DAT 39. They're going to be over in Kuwait, and they fly all over the Middle East. The 849th Mobility Augmentation Company is going to be about 100 Minnesotans. Currently in Afghanistan. 114th Transportation just went out the door. They just got to Afghanistan last week or the week before. That's, you know, another 150, about 10 people from the Minnesota Guard, or what we call the onesie twosies. In fact, my first deployment was a onesie twosie. It was myself and one other Minnesotan were attached to a larger unit and sent off from that. You know, that's going to be, again, about 10 people there. And then the 133rd Airlift Wing, of course, is going to have under 50 people supporting efforts overseas. 934th Airlift Wing, they're in St. Paul. They have around 30 they're going to be out. And, of course, we can't forget the Marine Reserves. They're going to have at least a couple people over in Afghanistan right now serving with EOD or Explosives Ordnance Disposal Teams.
So the numbers are down, but we've still got hundreds of Minnesotans out around the world and around the serving country over the Christmas holiday.
Oh, absolutely. You don't see the numbers like we did when, you know, the 1st Brigade Combat Team of the Red Bulls went out, or when the division headquarters went out. So you won't see those big 2,000, 8,000 number deployments, but, you know, it's, I think it's very important to remember not only those service members that are overseas, but, you know, the one thing that we always say is don't worry about us overseas. We've got it set. We'll figure it out. We'll have a nice meal. We'll you know, find some lights, put them up around the tent, and it'll be a great time. Don't worry about us. Worry about our families. So that's about, you know, 500 or so families here in Minnesota that are going to be missing their loved ones.
So if any of our listeners want to help those military families, just go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org, and there's all kinds of information there on how you can help. Maybe shovel some snow, or maybe bake some cookies, babysit. Just say hello to them and tell them that you care.
Absolutely. You know, link up with your local Yellow Ribbon network, or find a family assistance center near you. There's quite a few across the state of Minnesota, and they will help you help today's Minnesota military families.
Beth, any final thoughts? Just about out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Yeah, if there's anyone out there listening who would like to, you know, volunteer or give back to our homes, you can visit MinnesotaVeteran.org, and there's actually opportunities to volunteer and do different things. And I just want to say thank you to all of our veteran service organizations, and wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
Sergeant Ben, good to have you on this side of the mic and in the studio for a change. You do a great job as our broadcast NCO. Any final thoughts for the listeners?
Just happy holidays, Merry Christmas to everyone, and Happy New Year. And thank you to all of our current and former service members. We appreciate all you do, and thank you to your families as well.
And keep an empty seat at the table for those that are missing this holiday, and have a great holiday with your family and friends.
Hoo-ah.
We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Richard Jenkins, Mike Ash, Dwayne Hermanson, Commissioner Larry Shalado, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week for a very special holiday show. It's a Chaplain's Roundtable focusing on spiritual healing for our combat vets. That'll be next Sunday morning on this station, and of course on all of our stations around the Minnesota Military Radio Network. I hope you all get the chance to spend the Christmas holiday with your family and friends. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.